A good Erev Shabbos, a good Erev Thanksgiving to everybody for a special Wednesday night edition of 3 Ideas in 30 Minutes. Apparently in Boca, Erev Thanksgiving is also a holiday, and rain on Erev Thanksgiving means that most people are interested in listening to it on the recording instead of showing up in person, but we like you anyways. And as I told you, those who are here,
There's a lot of snow going on.
You guys get more schar. Not only do you get more chulent and more schar, which means you get more ruchnius and more gashmis. I want to thank I want to thank our sponsor for this evening, sponsored by Martin and Sarah Shandelson. We appreciate it very much. And send our best. So thank you very, very much to the Shandelsons for sponsoring our share this evening. And as always, our learning is an aliyah for the neshama of Esther Tila Bas Gavriel Pinchas. Okay. Okay, here we go. Idea number one comes from Moshe Feinstein. And I couldn't have timed this better. Musser for those who are listening, but not here in person. I couldn't have timed this any better. Okay, here we go. Ready for Musser? Moshe Feinstein. The Pasuk says, right after Yaakov wakes up and he realizes that he's in a place of Kedusha. So what happens? He goes, Vihine Be'er Basadeh. He notices a bunch of wells. Let me read you a Baal HaTorim. If you've never seen this Baal HaTorim, it is an amazing Baal HaTorim. The Baal HaTorim says that the word Be'er appears 7 times. The word Pia Be'er appears 5 times. In the words, Me'al Pia Be'er appears 3 times. 7, 5, 3. Says the Baal HaTorim, do you notice any significance to the numbers 7, 5, and 3 in Judaism?
No.
No gabbais here?
Seven aliyahs.
Birchas Kohanim. Okay, and 7 aliyahs. Right? So we have on Shabbos, we have 7 aliyahs. On Yom Kippur, on Yontif, we have 5 aliyahs. On Yontif, we have 5 aliyahs. And on Mondays and Thursdays, we have 3 aliyahs. Oh, says the Baal HaTorim, 7, 5, 3 of the Be'er. Oh, people are coming. They just came late. 7, 5, and 3 of the Be'er means it's corresponding to Kriyas HaTorah. It's corresponding to the Torah reading on Shabbos, the Torah reading on Yontif, in the Torah reading on the weekday. That, Azoy Zakt, the Baal HaTorim. What in the world is this Baal HaTorim talking about? What is the significance? What is the connection between the Be'er, the wells that Yaakov Avinu encounters, and Kriyas HaTorah on Shabbos, on Yontif, and on a weekday? That is the question of Rav Moshe Feinstein. Says Rav Moshe Feinstein the following beautiful suggestion. If you look at where Yaakov Avinu is in his life, Yaakov Avinu, of course, is on the run. He had this encounter with Hashem in Beit El. Now he's going to Lavan's house. And on his way to Lavan's house, he encounters a bunch of
wells.
Well, who's at the wells? It's the shepherds. It's the farmers. It's the people who are working at the wells. Yaakov Avinu, for the very first time, is encountering life as a Baal HaBas. He's encountering life at what it means to be a worker, to go to work from 9 to 5 and to come home. Says Rav Moshe Feinstein, "V'nirashi yesh makom lachshov v'litos." There's a place in a person's mind to make mistakenly think. Kevan shorachon Hashem yisbarach hu sheyaskav yishuv shel olam, because Hashem deemed that we should go to work, that's the ratzon of Hashem, and that if we go to work, that's all Hashem wants from us. V'im kein, in the underline, if that's the case, yachshov adam sheyaskav yishuv shel olam v'lo yamo kol kach b'torah v'sagi b'kach. If Hashem wanted us to learn Torah, he would have made it easier for us to learn Torah. But because we have a responsibility to a family, and because we have a responsibility to our parnasa, so we think that the ikar, the essential part, is that I'm going to go to work. Okay, and if I kachap a few minutes of Torah learning at the end of the day, good day, but that's not the priority. The priority is that I have to go to work. That, says Rav Moshe Feinstein, is the mindset that Yaakov Avinu encounters at this point in his life. Vilachain, and therefore, when he encounters the well, Hashem says, there's a remez to Kriyas HaTorah. Kriyas HaTorah on Shabbos, Kriyas HaTorah on Yontif, and Kriyas HaTorah on the weekday. Why Kriyas HaTorah? She's gina to Kriyas HaTorah is a mishum shaloya gimel yamin below Torah. Delav b'neit below Danilu below Torah. Mishum she'en shum tachlis below Torah. The whole reason why Chazal instituted Kriyas HaTorah in the way that they did, is so that a Jew should never go more than 3 days without encountering Torah. And so therefore we read Torah on Shabbos, we read Torah on Shabbos at Mincha, we read Torah on Monday, we read Torah on Thursday, so that we never go more than 3 days without Torah, as a reminder to us that the whole reason for why we do everything else in life is simply so that we can learn Torah. It's not that we work and then as an afterthought we learn Torah, but rather the essence is we have to learn Torah. Now, how can I learn Torah if I don't have a roof over my head? How can I learn Torah if I don't have a car to drive? How can I learn Torah if I don't have parnasa? Okay, so I have to go to work. But it's a reminder to us that the anchor, the essence of our lives has to be learning Torah. V'lachein, says Rav Moshe Feinstein, therefore, Yaakov kishara roe Lavan asukim edavar sheish ratzon Hashem. When Yaakov Avinu sees the shepherds of Lavan, and they're doing the ratzon Hashem, they're going to work, they're earning parnasa. That's the yeshuva shalolam. That's what Hashem wants from us. Hear har ba'atzmo, he thought to himself, he thought to himself, maybe I'm going to make a mistake and think, therefore I don't have to learn Torah, because I'm working so hard, because I'm earning parnasa, because I'm paying day school education, because I have to afford the yeshiva break vacation, so therefore I don't have time to learn, I'm not obligated to learn, or that doesn't have to be a priority for me. But listen to what Moshe says in the next line. Ela shebelo Torah eino klum. If you don't learn Torah, it's for nothing. It's worthless. It doesn't mean anything. Vuraka avoda belo toelis velo tachlis. If you go to work, and the reason why you work is not so that you can also be an Eved Hashem, so you can learn Torah, so you can go to Minyan, so you can raise your children in the path of Torah and Mitzvos, he says, then it's meaningless. Then you were just on the rat race of life. Then you're on the hamster wheel, but you didn't really accomplish anything. And therefore, when it comes to Yaakov Avinu's first encounter as being a balabas, first encounter with work, what do? L'chein nirmoz inyan kriyas haTorah peparsha zo. Therefore, it also introduces us to kriyas haTorah, mishum shetzarech liyischazek biyoser shelo liyispatos lekoach hayetzer. The biggest yetzahara, says Rav Moshe Feinstein, is that we misplace what the Iker is and what the Tafel is, what the important thing is and what the secondary component is. We think that going to work is important and takes up the majority of my day. And okay, at the end of the day, if I could hop a minute of learning, maybe yes, maybe no. I don't know if we saw people march out during Maariv. Who knows? Not that I'm judging, right? Jason, you like that one, right? Yeah, okay. If you were here for my banter at the beginning, you would have appreciated that. Okay, right? Okay, so you think that if I go to work and I cop a couple of minutes at the end of the day, that's the ikker. No, says Rav Moshe Feinstein, it's the opposite. Everything we do is for Torah. Everything we do is for Hashem. Now, sometimes that means going to work and earning parnasa, but really, Torah has to be the essence and the anchor of our day. And that's why, remember we started with the question, why is it that the word be'er appears 7 times? In the word Pia Be'er appears 5 times. In the word Al Pia Be'er appears 3 times. 7, 5, 3. It's both Birchas Kohanim, but it's also Kriyas HaTorah, says Rav Moshe Feinstein. What does Kriyas HaTorah have to do here? Because it's a reminder to Yaakov Avinu of what the most important part of going to work is. Yes, you have to go to work and you have to earn money. And yes, you have to support. And yes, you have to pay day school. But you know what it really is about? It's also making sure that your day is anchored in Talmud Torah. Making sure your day is anchored in Talmud Torah. It reminds me of a story that Rabbi Moshe Weinberger, who we'll actually get to at the end of tonight's shiur, Rabbi Weinberger, when he was here a few years ago, he was telling a story. I use this in my public speaking class. I give a public speaking class for Torah University, and this is one of the examples that I give. We do a whole series of storytelling, and I compare the storytelling tactics, of Rabbi Moshe Weinberger, the storytelling of Rabbi Y.Y. Jacobson, and the storytelling of Charlie Harari. 3 masters, 3 very different storytellers. And what I do is I take snippets, put one against the other, and we analyze different strategies in storytelling. That's how I know this story very well. Anyways, Weinberger is telling the story that he once had a question for his father. And he calls his father in the middle of the day. And his father says, 1 second. He puts down the phone. He comes back a few minutes later, and he listens to Weinberger, and they talk for about 45 minutes. Afterwards, Weinberger's mother says to him, she says, you know, you should know better. You can't call in the middle of the day. That's when the people are in the store. Your father's busy. So Weinberger said, you know, I'm so sorry. I didn't know. She says, do you know that when you called, your father kicked everyone out of the store, closed the store so he could be on the phone with you and answer your question? So Weinberger felt terrible. His father kicked people out of the store. So he goes to his father. He says, you know, Tati, I have to apologize. And his father said, what are you apologizing for? He says, do you know why I do this? He goes, everything I do, all of the reasons why I open this store is because of you. He says, you are the reason. If you'd meet me, that's the most important thing. It's not about the store, it's about you. Very powerful story about everything I do it for you. That wasn't his line, that was my line, right? But it's a very powerful story. You can Google it. I actually think Living L'Chaim or one of those took the story, they put their watermark on it, but it was at the Boca Raton Synagogue. But that's exactly what Ramosha Feinstein is talking about here. We go to work, and we should work hard, and we do work hard, and we earn parnas, and we deserve it, and it's long days, and it's long hours, and it's hard. But let's remember why we do it. What is the reason why we do it? We don't just do it for the next dollar. We don't just do it for an extra one in the paycheck or an extra zero in the paycheck. We do it so that we can learn. We do it so that we can raise children and grandchildren and great-grandchildren, generations of Ovdei Hashem, so that we can set their priorities straight and send them to Jewish education. This is all why we do it. We don't do it for the money, but rather we do it for the Torah. And therefore, Yaakov Avinu's first encounter with work is surrounded by, or it's anchored in, Talmud Torah. That is the 7:5:3 of the Be'er, a beautiful Baal HaTurim and a beautiful understanding of the Baal HaTurim from Rav Moshe Feinstein. Idea number two comes from the Sfas Emes. The Sfas Emes / Rabbi Y.Y. Jacobson. Oh, I didn't even realize we're going to get 2 out of 3 of my storytellers tonight. Sfas Emes points out that there is one parsha in the Torah, he says, that is, from start to finish, a parsha stuma. What does a parsha stuma mean? So we know that generally, parshios have breaks in the middle. They have breaks in the middle of the parsha. There's one parsha, he says, that does not have any break, and that is Parshas Vayetze. Beseder Vayetze lo nimsa shum parsha psucha o stuma. There is no psucha or stuma. It is just one continuous parsha. Why is that the case? Says the Sfas Emes, v'nira. De'aremesh lo pasak avinu Yaakov, v'lo husach daito mi'itziyaso l'chutzarz. Says the Sfas Emes, something so powerful and so relevant and so appropriate for every single one of us. Where is Yaakov coming from and where is Yaakov going? Yaakov is coming from Eretz Yisrael. He's coming from his father's house that was rooted in the Mesorah, rooted in Torah and Mitzvot, rooted in a relationship with Hashem. And where was he going to? He was going to Lavan. Lavan was an evil, wicked, devious, right. There was another word deceptive. I was looking, deceptive and, okay, I got two words mixed up. We'll go with either devious or deceptive person. He's manipulative, right? So he's going from a very comfortable environment, one that's rooted in Torah Mitzvot, and where's he going to? He's going to a horrible place. Lavan Garti, Vitarik Mitzvot Shemarti. Lavan's house was not a good place, and he's being thrown into exile. Says the Sfas Emes, what is the key to holding on to your Jewish heritage throughout exile? The key is, he says, never to forget where you came from. Never to forget your tradition. Never to forget your heritage. Never to forget your Mesorah. And therefore he says, Shalo pasak avinu Yaakov lahusach daitu mitziyasu lachutzarts. Yaakov Avinu, no matter where he went, always remembered where he came from. He always remembered that whether I'm in Boca Raton or whether I'm in New York or whether I'm in California or whether I'm in Chicago or whether I'm in Timbuktu, it doesn't matter. A Jew is always rooted in our Mesorah. A Jew is always rooted in our tradition. We have a connection that goes back thousands and thousands of years. And it's by remembering that connection that ultimately allows us to remain connected towards our Mesorah no matter where we are. He says in the next underline, Vizehaya ikar haneder v'abakasha im yelo kimim adi. That was the promise and the request that Yaakov Avinu says when he says to Hashem, Elokim imadiya, he says, if you'll be with me, shelo yitpared minatvekus al yedei lavan arasha v'tach bulosav. He says, Hashem, I'm going into the lion's den, but my tefillah to you is that you and I should always remain connected, that I should never be detached. And therefore, says the Sfas Emes, now you understand why there's no psucha and stuma. It's one continuous parsha to show that there was no break in Yaakov Avinu's life. It's not like he left Eretz Yisrael and then there's a new Yaakov Avinu, right? You have that many times with, unfortunately, kids who, they're on fire in Eretz Yisrael. They're on fire in yeshiva. They go to the right yeshiva and they're on fire because they went to the right yeshiva. And then they come back to America. And a few years later, it's almost like there was my Eretz Yisrael personality, and then there's like the new personality. There's the personality of college, the personality of work, and there's that version of me and this version of me. I'm a different person with now different priorities. That wasn't Yaakov Avinu. Yaakov Avinu, lo pasak Yaakov Avinu. There was no break. There was one continuous experience, one continuous connection. So I saw this Sfas Emes, and then I saw the Rabbi Y.Y. Jacobson quoted this Sfas Emes, and that is on 2A. That's why you see it. There's 2 and 2A, because it was an addendum to our shir tonight at the last minute. But he says here in the following beautifully, he says, what allowed Yaakov to maintain his moral and spiritual equilibrium throughout his 2 decades in exile? Why did the first Jewish refugee not assimilate and forfeit his spiritual identity? This is the question. How did Yaakov hold on to it, and what instruction can that be for every single one of us? He says the answer is hidden in the Torah by the omission of any space throughout the journey from the Holy Land and back. From and Yaakov left Beersheba in the opening of Ayetze, through and Yaakov went on his way and the angels encountered him at the end of Ayetze, there is no chasm. Geographically, Yaakov left Beersheba in the Holy Land. He departed from Isaac and Rivka in their divine-centered world. But his mindset, there was no gulf between the two. He knew his journey. He was on a mission. He will return. Yaakov never lost touch with where he came from. And therefore, he never got lost in the vicissitude of his exile's life. He who has a why to live for can bear almost anyhow, Nietzsche said. When you know who you are and the tasks that lay before you, the changing circumstances do not override your inner anchor. There is a uniform serenity that pervades your life. You have to know in your core, in your kishkas, who you are. And if you know who you are and where you came from and what you are rooted in, then you can withstand anything life throws you. He says this portion captures the long drama of Jewish exile. Yaakov is the first Jew to leave his parents' cocoon and recreate Jewish life on foreign soils. His descendants would be forced to do so numerous times throughout their history. What is the secret of the descendants of Yaakov to be able to endure millennia of exile and yet remain firmly etched in their identity as Jews? Our mission today is to teach by example how there is indeed no gorge or no gulf between Sinai and modernity. I love that line. Right, there's no gulf between what happened at Har Sinai and today. Yes, it might express itself differently. Yes, it might manifest itself differently. But we are the same people. We are a people that's rooted in Har Sinai. We are a people that's rooted in Kriyas Yamsu. We are a people that is rooted in the home of Avraham, Yitzchak, and Yaakov. It is one continuous, uninterrupted chain. And unlike with Darwinism, there is no missing link. The glorious narrative of our people is that we never allowed for an intergenerational gap. The same Shabbos our grandmother celebrated 3,000 years ago, we still celebrate. The same tefillin my great-grandfathers put on in Georgia 300 years ago, I still wrap in New York today. The same text Jewish children in Florence and Barcelona were studying 700 years ago, my children study today. Now that last paragraph, by the way, should give you goosebumps. I know it did for me when I first read it again tonight. It is a very powerful idea to think about the fact that the Torah we learn today is the same Torah that was learned 500 years ago, 1,000 years ago, and 2,000 years ago. Yes, it's adapted. Yes, it's had to, in the context of halacha, it's had to confront modernity, but it's the same Torah, and it's the same tefillin, and it's the same Shabbos candles. That is what anchors a Jew. That is what connects a Jew. And so the same way there's no break in our parsha, there was no break in Yaakov Avinu. The same Yaakov who left Beersheba was the same one who would ultimately return because he was rooted in Mesorah. He was rooted in a tradition. He knew exactly from where he came and he knew exactly to where he was going. And when a Jew knows that, there is no break in the chain. And therefore, says Rabbi Y.Y., that is the answer to the question. Why did the first Jewish refugee not assimilate and forfeit his spiritual identity? It is because he knew where he came from and he knew where he was going. There's a great line that I once came across. I will not reference it, but you can look it up on your own. It says, we are who we were. I always loved that line. We are who we were. It means that you and I are not individuals. We don't live and exist in a vacuum. It means we are capturing the essence of generations and generations of people who came before us. We are who we were. Who I am today is because of the people who came before me. It's the people who came before me 50 years ago, and the people who came before me 100 years ago, and the people who came before me 150 years ago, as I spoke about on Yom Kippur. The decisions they made and the sacrifices they made are what allowed me to become who I am to this very day. I'm venturing to say that almost everyone at this table and in this room right now has a story for why they are who they are right now and the people that shaped them and transformed them into the people who they are. The decisions that our parents and grandparents made, the sacrifices that they made so that we could have Jewish education, so that we could have Jewish day schools, so that we can have a Jewish infrastructure. That is what it means we are who we were. And when we maintain a connection to them, when we understand that we are rooted in that tradition, then there's no break. There's no break. The Torah I'm learning is the Torah they're learning. The tefillin I'm putting on is the tefillin they're putting on. And that is the secret to our national longevity. And that is why there is no break in the Parsha this week. A beautiful Sfas Emes and a beautiful understanding of Rabbi Y.Y. Jacobson. That is idea number two. So idea number one came from Rav Moshe Feinstein. Why the Be'er? Why, when it comes to the wells, do you have the number 7, 5, and 3? It's a reminder to us that even though we go to work, it has to be anchored in Talmud Torah. That has to be the essence. Idea number two comes from Rabbi Y.Y. Jacobson, of why will allow us to maintain that spiritual and moral equilibrium. Our connection, it is the understanding of where we came from. Yaakov Avinu never lost that. He never departed from the home of Yitzchak and Rivka, even though he physically went to a new place. Spiritually, he remained rooted, and that is our job in exile as well. Idea number three comes from Moshe Weinberger. Moshe Weinberger, and I quoted excerpts, we're not going to read the entire thing, but Moshe Weinberger has this beautiful idea. Some of it's intuitive, but I'll show you an application to it that I think is really beautiful. Of course, Yaakov Avinu traveled from Eretz Yisrael to Haran, we're on page number three, and passed through what was supposed to be Yerushalayim. He comes to Beit El, he realized that he had not stopped to daven Yerushalayim, and so he decides that he encounters the place he's going to daven. And then the Pasuk says that all of a sudden there's Kvitzas Aderech, Yerushalayim comes to Beit El, and Yaakov Avinu wakes up and he says, oh, I didn't realize that this too is a holy place. Rav Yonas and Ibshitz, he's quoting here, says, what was so surprising to Yaakov Avinu? And he answers that Yaakov Avinu understood that while the physical Beis HaMikdash could have been moved here, he didn't understand that the spiritual Beis HaMikdash in the heavens also moved, right? We know there's a Beis HaMikdash Shamata and a Beis HaMikdash Shamala. There's an earthly Beis HaMikdash and a heavenly Beis HaMikdash. And while he understood that the earthly Beis HaMikdash could be transported to wherever he was, it was surprising to him that the heavenly Beis HaMikdash also transported. And that was a chiddush, that was a novel idea. Rav Moshe Weinberger builds on this idea as a reminder to us that Judaism is not limited to any one place or time. That Judaism is transportable. And that the quote-unquote essence, the spirituality, the Kedusha of the Beis HaMikdash can come with us no matter where we are. So if you turn to page number four, that is, I'd say, the intuitive part. Okay, most people, when they read the beginning of our parsha, understand that there's something like that going on, that there's something about the Beis HaMikdash being transportable which makes it so significant. But listen to what he says, and this is what I loved and I never thought of before. He says, the Pasuk says regarding the ladder, that the angels were olim v'yordim bo. What does the word bo mean? How would you translate the word bo?
On?
In, right? Mostly in. So he says there's a dispute in the Bereishis Rabba regarding the subject of the word bo, which could either mean on him or on it. One opinion is that the angels were ascending and descending the ladder. The bow is modifying the ladder. But the Medrash offers another explanation that the angels were ascending and descending Yaakov Avinu himself. What does that mean? According to Rav Yonas and Ibshitz's explanation, we can understand that when a Jew seeks out Hashem like Yaakov Avinu did, the Beis HaMikdash, Hashem's presence comes to him. In other words, the Beis HaMikdash was like almost like Kaviyachol on Yaakov Avinu. And by bringing Hashem's dwelling place to wherever a person is, he brings the Beis HaMikdash above as well, such that he himself becomes a conduit to draw Hashem's light into life, just like Yaakov Avinu was a ladder on which the angels ascended and descended. And so it's not that there was this external ladder, according to Rav Yonas and Ibshitz. But you know who became the ladder?
Yaakov.
We become the ladder. When we create and live lives of Kedusha, we become the ladder. Now, what does it mean that we're a ladder? It means we become that conduit. We become that bridge between heaven and earth. Now, if that is not an empowering idea, I don't know what is. It's not that there was an external imaginary ladder that Yaakov Avinu was envisioning, says the Medrash. Yaakov Avinu became the ladder. The angels were climbing and ascending and descending him. He was the ladder that bridged the gap between heaven and earth. And says Rav Yonas and Ibshitz, therefore, anywhere we go with the right mindset, with the right kavana, with the right kedusha, we can create that bridge between heaven and earth. It means that you can be at a baseball game or a football game, and when you daven mincha off to the side, even though it's a little awkward and weird, you become the ladder that connects heaven and earth. It means when you're in the airport in an early morning flight, and even though it's weird and awkward, and you go off to the corner and you're getting those strange looks, but you put on tallis and tefillin and you dive into Hashem, you become the ladder that connects heaven and earth. It means when you go to the business meeting and they give you that meal that's wrapped 45 times and you have to explain to your coworkers why you can't drink the wine that they brought, you become the ladder that bridges heaven and earth. And it means that when you fill out your tax returns and you have the chance to fudge a zero with a two or a two with a six and you choose not to, you become the ladder that bridges heaven and earth. That is an extremely empowering idea. He says, therefore, following this episode, what does the pasuk say? And Yaakov lifted his feet. When you use the expression of someone lifting their feet, what's that usually an expression of? Someone's light on their feet. What does that mean? It means that you envision someone who's like skipping, they're joyous, they're happy. So he says, Rashi explains that Yaakov was light on his feet, he was no longer afraid. Yaakov was carefree at that moment. Why? Because he understood that no matter where he went, he had the ability to create the Beis HaMikdash in that place and in that time. Therefore, says Weinberger in the next paragraph, wherever a Jew goes, he builds shuls and yeshivos in which to learn Torah and daven. Wherever a Jew learns and davens, he draws the holiness of Eretz Yisrael into his life. He brings the Beis HaMikdash and the gates of heaven to him. It is so easy to be afraid of anti-Semites or of dangers of exile. Even in Eretz Yisrael, even in Shul Har Nof, in Yerushalayim, we now feel vulnerable. This was, again, a number of years ago. But Hashem is telling us that he will be with us wherever we go. We cannot guarantee that bad things will not happen to us, but our hearts can rest easier knowing that Hashem is with us no matter what, and I will guard you wherever you go. That is, I'd say, Aleph of Rav Weinberger, and Bet is the next one. Now you understand, and this appears a lot in Chassidus, that the letters for the word Yaakov, Yud, Ayin, Kuf, Beis, is the same letters for the word Givaka, which means to break out or to burst out of something. What is Yaakov Avinu breaking out of? So he says Rav Weinberger, Yaakov's gift is that he is not limited to connecting to Hashem in only one place, in Yerushalayim or the Beis HaMikdash. Right? As opposed to Yitzchak, where did Yitzchak Avinu live his whole life? Yitzchak Avinu was an Eretz Yisrael Jew. Yitzchak Avinu's Kedusha was limited to Eretz Yisrael. Yaakov Avinu is different. Yaakov Avinu breaks that mold. He breaks out and shows that even when you're not in Eretz Yisrael, and even when you're not in the Beis HaMikdash, you can still have that relationship with Hashem. That is the breaking forth. That is the Yivaka and Yaakov. The same letters. Yud, Ayin, Kuf, Bet. Yuf, Yud, Bet, Kuf, Ayin. Because Yaakov Avinu broke out. He shows that even when we are not in Eretz Yisrael, even when we are not in places of, I'd say, obvious Kedusha, we still have the ability to be able to tap into that Kedusha. So there are two beautiful ideas. Again, I think the ideas is somewhat famous, but I think some of the Torah within the idea was new to me. Number one was the Medrash about Bo, that Yaakov himself is the ladder. We become the ladder no matter where we are. And number two is this idea of Yaakov and Yivaka, the Yaakov's ability to show us that he can break out and take possession of his inheritance without borders. We are, long before there was Doctors Without Borders, I think we don't like Doctors Without Borders, right? I think, yeah, they're not friends of ours. So long before there was Doctors Without Borders, there were Jews Without Borders. We are the wandering Jew, which in general is used in a pejorative sense, but here it's showing it's the secret to our success. It's the notion that we could be anywhere, in any place, and still be able to connect with Hashem. That's as Rabbi Sachs said, although I was corrected, Rabbi Sachs was not the first one to say it, but I heard in the name of Rabbi Sachs that the Torah is the portable homeland of the Jewish people. I love that line. Torah is the portable homeland of the Jewish people. It means that we can be, again, in Boca Raton, we can be in Hong Kong, or we could be in Mumbai. It doesn't matter. The Torah is able to come with us. We become the ladders no matter where we are. We yivaka, that even when we are outside of Eretz Yisrael, we can break out and take possession of our inheritance no matter where we are. So we saw three ideas in 30 minutes. Idea number one from Moshe Feinstein, the Be'er, the wells, why the numbers 7, 5, and 3, a reminder and a reference to Kriyas HaTorah to remind us that no matter what we do and how much work we put in, Torah has to be the anchor. Torah has to be our anchor quantitatively, and certainly, if it can't be quantitatively, then it has to be our anchor qualitatively as well. Idea number two came from the Sfas Emes. Why is there no break in the entire Parsha? It's to show us the secret of how Yaakov remained from essentially how he did not forfeit his spiritual identity and assimilate. The answer is that he always remained connected. There was no gulf between the world of Yitzchak and Rivka in the world that he was going to in Lavan. He was the same person no matter where he went. We are who we were. There's always a connection to our Mesorah and our past. Idea number three came from Rav Moshe Weinberger, this idea of the Jew, that the Jew can be create a Beis HaMikdash no matter where he is. Those of you who remember my Shavua Shir, 2 years ago I spoke about this. I'm sure you all remembered. It was at 1:45 in the morning. I'm sure you remembered like it was yesterday. But we spoke about this very idea. Okay, you can, I think I actually regave it and posted online at some point. But this idea of Bo, that we become the ladder. And therefore we have Yivaka, we break the mold. And even when we camp in Eretz Yisrael, still we can break out and take possession and build a Yerushalayim or a Beis HaMikdash no matter where we are. A very empowering idea. I wish everyone a Zisin Thanksgiving and a good Shabbos.